Lord Jesus, without you, we can do nothing. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your hand is upon this entire house tonight, so that your name can be glorified and your Holy Spirit can have his way. So I ask that you would have full freedom with my mouth to speak what you have already invested, but anything that you want to add or take away, I'm yours for the glory of our God. Amen? As I was pondering today, questioning the Lord, how many know we question him an awful lot? You know, we're so nosy, and it's such a good thing. And what I kept getting is the rejection. And the saints that God calls have a real understanding of rejection. They usually have been slapped around, pushed around, shoved around, spoken about, tattled about. Anybody relate? Hey. And it usually starts when they were very, very young, even before birth in many cases. Yeah. And for a long time, I couldn't comprehend why God would choose servants of this type. It just didn't make sense to me. And I'd say, God, why? But today, what he was pressing into me was the rejection that he went through so that we could be able to relate. And at the same time, we could go out to one who can relate. Because the high priest is one who has tasted. Do I get any amen? See, if you've never tasted of apple pie, I could be talking about it, your mouth will not water. But if I talk to you about awesome apple pie that's taken out of the oven and the aroma of the cinnamon is still in the air, and you walk into that kitchen and somebody's got the dish of ice cream, you say, is it deep dish for me? And you can actually feel the saliva start to form. Just talking about it. Okay? Why? Because you've tasted. You've tasted and you've understood, and you know that there's joy coming from deep dish apple pie. Amen? Now, why the rejection? Today, I'd like to take you to Matthew chapter 8. And it says in verse 14, Jesus heals many. The NIV says, when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. Okay? Verse 18 says, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Now, you can take that literally, meaning he had no real home. Or you can also take it spiritually, that he's looking for a place to lay his headship. So think about the possibility. Is he your head, or are you carrying your own head? Has he become your leader and your Lord, and some of us call him Lord, But we do our own thing. And I'm guilty of that. Okay? I'm on a roll, I'm doing all this stuff, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will say, and where are you going? And what are you doing now? And obviously, you know, you left the Lord in the back seat and you're doing the driving. Amen? In fact, I've seen him in the trunk a few times. Because I closed the lid. I was tired, exhausted, couldn't keep on going. Lord, I can't go anymore. So I put him in the trunk. And I repented, you know, but he knows how strong-willed I can be. Does he have a place to lay his head on my shoulders? I'm afraid he does. I can tell you he's got more room than he used to have. And that's a good thing. So another disciple, verse 21, said to him, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Now watch what he says. But Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Now that's a very strong statement. But Jesus was trying to push a few buttons in this young man because undoubtedly he had a few needs in his ministry. Did you realize that he knew Judas was going to betray him? Maybe this was the replacement. But he was informing our Lord that Jesus really wasn't going to be the Lord. He was going to be Lord after he buried his dead. And now the Lord is telling him, but your dad is already dead, emotionally, physically, and so on. What are you going to be doing? Are you wanting really to follow me? So when Jesus is calling us to follow him, it means all these other things that are important to us have to what? Take a back seat. Yeah, they have to die. And that's not very pretty, but it is the truth. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without a warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. What a real statement of faith. Right? He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Why is Jesus giving them this commitment to recognize that they were full of fear? Because he knew that fear would bring on more destruction. He wanted them to speak to the situation, but they didn't. He was trying to wake them up to what he had been teaching them. Watch. Then he got up, rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. So he spoke to the storm. And it what? Quieted down. Was it God's will? Yeah. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Now here's the part that I want you to recognize. The next level. John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30 says that Jesus never did anything to please himself. They're on their way across to the other side of the lake. There's a problem on the other side and they have to get there, but there's a war going on not to let them get there. There's a war going on not to let him reach that destination. Verse 28. When he arrived on the other side in the region of Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from a tomb met him. What an incredible hello. Okay? They were so violent that no one could pass that way. What do you want with us, Son of God? Notice verse 29, it's very important. They call him the Son of... Who's speaking? The demons are speaking. And they shouted this. It's intense. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time. So you see, they're what? Full of their own nature. Fear. Demons run under the anointing of fear. That's all the time. Because the whole kingdom runs on fear and torment. If you know anybody in the occult, you know that they run on fear and on torment. That's what they do. That's how they work. That's how they function. That's how they climb upon another. And they take more power. And they use fear and torment to get there. Because the whole kingdom of darkness is based in fear. So if you're, by the way, following in that place, think about which kingdom you're in and which kingdom you're serving. Okay? So, he said, well, let's see. They shouted, "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus. Now he's specified. The demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." He said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into a lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town, and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. How many have had a few reports and know of a few reporters? People will report what happened in the house of the Lord. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus. Now that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? And when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. He set two men free, got rid of the devils, got rid of the pigs, which they shouldn't have been raising to begin with, but they were making big bucks. So they were concerned, and they wanted to keep their lifestyle. So who is the problem that has just entered their town? Yes! I want you to close your eyes for a moment. What about you? What about when you're commissioned of God to go and to a place where there's a lot of darkness? And if you think for one moment that the population is going to get happy because you entered that village, or entered that house, you better wake up and smell the roses. If the master could not be accepted in the town where he freed the people from demonic oppression, then guess what? You belong to the same Jesus. It's not a different Holy Ghost that's inside of you. It's the same Holy Ghost. So if you're going to get talked about, and if you're going to get shoved around a little bit and pushed out of the village, then you know that you're in good company. Keep your eyes closed for a moment. Put your hand over your heart. Say, "Lord Jesus, if anybody understands rejection, you do. So I can talk to you about these things anytime, and you will fully comprehend my heart and how I feel in my emotions and in my soul. Because you've already been there. You've already tasted. And you comprehend me. Even when I cannot comprehend myself. So I'm asking you now to forgive those who offended me when my heart was to help them get free. I had a great intention. and a great purpose. The timing might have been off. But if I got rejected, it's because Jesus Christ is alive in the earth right now. And every time he uses me, there could be some rejection. And if there is, I'll comprehend those who have been persecuted. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Don't stop using me. I want to give you a few more verses to show you that when he was rejected, it came from different sources. You'll see it in Mark chapter 6, verse 3. This is when he's in his own town. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James, Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. They took offense at him. You know, there's a lot of controversy about all these circumstances, but they took offense at him should be the bottom line. They'll take offense at you because you carry the same Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 4, verse 28. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. Now, he had just declared that he was the Messiah. Verse 29 says, they got up, drove him out of the town and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. That's love. What were they in love with? Maybe their tradition. Maybe their religious ways of doing things. Maybe they just couldn't accept a Messiah living in their hometown. Are you ready for the next prayer? Close your eyes. Put your hand over your heart again. Say, Lord Jesus, you are the Messiah working through me by the same Holy Ghost to change this world, to change my hometown, to change where I live, to change where I work. And if they want to throw me over a cliff, it's normal. Kind of ugly, isn't it? You know, when the Holy Spirit began to press this into me, that we would be received where the places that we would expect should receive us, they can't. And many times when you go into the most odd place, you find that you're accepted. And there's one that's alive waiting for your message. Amen? And you give them the good news, and what happens? There's a joy that takes place because there's salvation that has entered that town or that home or that family. And what do? You concentrate on those truths and you recognize and celebrate your victories and you forgive those who are offended by the same Spirit of God that's inside of you, that was inside of our Savior. He is the first of many brothers, Romans 8. He's the first of many brothers. Does that mean that you are the one and only Messiah? No. But you have the same Holy Spirit as the Messiah. And every time you come in, you bring in deliverance and good news. You bring in the power of light in the midst of a lot of darkness. Amen? And it's going to irritate the enemy. If you expect any different, there's a problem. Come on, please say amen. I'll give you one more and then we're going to quit. Luke 23:18. With one voice, they cry out, "Away with this man, release Barabbas to us." Woo-hoo. Barabbas is a crook. He's a jailbird. All he's done is steal from them, and they want him back. Whoa. Isn't that a wild one? Yeah. And Pilate's thinking, hey, wait a minute, this guy's done nothing wrong. What are you doing choosing a crook? Why? Who can tell me why it was designed by God that Barabbas should be released and not Jesus? Because the failure of our Savior going to the cross had to be a reality. And if you look at Romans 9, you'll understand that God hardened Pharaoh's heart to get his purpose done. God hardened the Jewish nation so that his purpose could be what? Salvation of the whole world. And sometimes our little skinny brain is so skinny that we think, oh my God, I got rejected. Poor me. Anybody relate to that one? Okay. But God is saying to you, you might have the words of eternal life to give to an individual that will change a whole nation. Amen? Now, Olivia, I'm going to pick on you. Yeah, I'm going to pick on you. Okay? See, when this lady goes back home and she speaks to her husband, she's going to say, I went to church Tuesday night and God's Holy Ghost showed a total stranger you were doing a marvelous work for God in a God-forsaken country. So, this is going to release freedom and what? Joy in her husband. And you had the vision. And you obeyed. Same Holy Ghost, not 2,000 years ago, today.
Hallelujah!
Yes! Woo! Celebrate! Why? Because she, if it would have been somebody that knows the circumstances, it would have had very little value. But because she did never contended with you, never advertised her problem or her difficult space, but God chose. God chose. And He chose you. Yes. The glory goes to Jesus. Amen? Why are we being coordinated to become one before God? It's to bring what? Protection, words of knowledge, words of life, words of healing to those that are being prepared to receive it. Why is God building a foundation out of us? Making us into what He's called living stones. Into one living entity where He can lay His head. By His Spirit, we'll be able to call Him Lord and not be doing our own thing. So by His Spirit, say it with me, by His Spirit, He can put His head on my shoulders. And I'm going to let Him lead. I'm going to let Him direct me. I'll let him talk to me. I'll let him talk through me. I'll let him heal through my hands and through my walk. I will bless many for the glory of my God. And let that Messiah in me come to fullness of life to give glory to Jesus and no other. Amen?
Amen.
And amen. That's all I got. You know, a lot of times when we taste of rejection, we think we're the only one. When we get mistreated, we think we're the only one. How many of you can relate? Yes. Okay. So you're in good company.